Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Elizabeth Rees, who is a certified Alexander Technique teacher, a dressage writer, and instructor, and is the artistic director of the Warwick Summer Arts Festival. And she is also a faculty member at Postural Rehabilitation, which is a training program for veterinarians using alternative care in the treatment of dogs and horses. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
We just had a conversation about the Alexander Technique and riding and dressage and that whole area. But I thought it would be interesting to have another conversation about your work with veterinarians who are treating dogs and horses. So maybe it would be good, since a lot of the people listening to this aren't going to know what the Alexander Technique is to start, if you would just provide a very short description of it for our audience.
Yes, the Alexander Technique, which has been around about 100 years, is very similar to the concepts we talk about in horses in terms of a horse moving well, which is moving with a dynamic relationship between our head, neck, and back, and finding a place of poise, and stability.
Mm-hmm. And how does that come into play when you're working with caring for dogs and horses? And are there other animals involved, or is it confined to dogs and horses?
There are a few cats that wander around the workshop, but yeah. it's primarily we're working with dogs and horses.
And what's the history of that program, and how does the Alexander Technique fit in with that?
The program started, Dr. Judith Schumacher is a veterinarian and a chiropractor and various other things. She's trained in treating horses and dogs in an alternative way. And her friend and colleague, Dr. Karen Gelman, that was out of Cornell, was primarily interested in research, but also in this alternative way. And she came actually down to do an internship or an externship with Judith Schumacher. And had done her PhD on the relationship of the head and neck in movement in horses, in equines. And was able to put into words what Judith was doing that Judith was just doing with horses. And what it was that she was doing is that she has, after adjusting and fixing and trying to get to the root of lameness in a lot of horses, is that she was separated out the idea of mobility from stability. Another way to say this is the biggest problem with horses is they couldn't stand up. So we are trained in riding to look at lamenesses in the walk, trot, and canter. How is the horse favoring one leg or another? And what she was really came upon, that it wasn't the issue of whether they were favoring one leg or another, and so therefore the issue was in the foot was sore, the hock was sore, whatever, but that it was fundamentally a postural default or a postural misuse, that the horse just wasn't standing up well, that the horse hind legs were what we call camped in, too far underneath the horse. The horse was not balanced on all four legs. The horse's musculature, how it had developed from standing, was too bulky in some places, not enough in other places. The muscles were bunchy, and you could see the overwork, begin to see the overwork of horses in their surface muscles, literally trying to hold themselves up. Well, if you can't hold yourself up while you're standing, good luck while you're running across a field jumping very large obstacles. So she really found over years that this was the biggest problem, and how to work with that, how to get a horse to start to use themselves in a more balanced way. And I could go into how, I mean, you'd have to really watch her work to understand this. It's a little hard to describe it, but these are the underlying questions. Now, how I came into the program, I was a longtime friend of Karen Gelman's, and Judith had studied a little bit of the Alexander technique years ago, which she said made a lot of light bulbs go off for her of, wait a minute, what is stability? What is posture? And what is our relationship to gravity? Karen always says, every cell in our bodies is programmed to interact with gravity, to respond to it. So what happens when things are amiss, when things aren't working? Well, you know, for a lot of reasons. We could go into endless reasons why horses aren't working in quite the way they should be working. How they're handled, how they're pulled around, how they're bad saddles on their back, bad riding on their back. Now, how I came into the picture was that when they really wanted to come up with a program and to teach other veterinarians what she was teaching, because is this just something she could do, or is this something that could be taught? And this was going to be the big testing of the work. Is this just something, you know, was she doing what she thought she was doing with the animals, and could she teach it? So we developed this program. And as an Alexander teacher, the biggest thing is that people wanted to come in and kind of manhandle these horses and push them around. And of course, the horses weren't responding. So the first thing I had to do is really understand what it was Judith was doing. And I realized what she was doing was giving the horses an Alexander lesson. She was getting them to really release it in a horse, what we call the pole, for non-riders out there, that the head-neck connection, that very dynamic connection, and get that the habit of horses to stabilize by grabbing in their necks.
And now, how would she do that? Did she use her hands to guide the horse?
She used her hands and her words and very much her intention.
So that sounds very much like the Alexander technique, doesn't it?
It is
for horses instead of for people. Yeah.
Yeah, and very much, and teaching and now how to teach people to do this. Well, you know, if they come on and they need to get out of their own way and trust their own abilities to stand up. So that fundamentally, but also even more so for them to really be able, and this has been I've been there 4 years now. It's been the most phenomenal thing. For people to really be able to see, when we talk about, you know, getting them to look at a dog or look at a horse, and because I can describe what a postural defect is, but to be able to really see it, if they experienced it in their own bodies, the light bulbs went on. It was like the someone just gave them 20/20 vision. When they could find in their own bodies, when they were keeping themselves from falling over by grabbing their neck muscles and grabbing their shoulders muscles, and this is how they went through life. And if they felt like if they let go of those big neck muscles and let go of grabbing with the rib cage, that they would turn into a puddle on the floor. And to learn how to say, oh my gosh, I not only don't fall over, I actually start to breathe. When I stop grabbing with my neck, oh my God, I can actually, two things. Actually, they start to breathe, start to see. And as practitioners, because this is all for veterinarians and chiropractors, and so they all have hands on all the time on critters and chiropractors on people. But the most fundamental change for me, the surprise part, was they all started feeling different. Mm-hmm. So feeling through their hands, you know, internally feeling different. Yes, of course, that's what we hope in all our students. But when they would say, oh my God, I was leaping to a diagnosis based on my habits of seeing and my habits of feeling. And when I could let go of my own habits and feel my relationship to the ground in a little bit different way, when I put my hands on that horse, I could feel something different.
That reminds me of something that F. Matthias Alexander, who's the developer of this work, said, which was that he thought it was very important for doctors to have some Alexander training in order to better diagnose their patients, because they're using their eyes and they're using their hands to gather information. And if they're tense, if they have stiff necks or stiff shoulders, that information's not going to travel through so easily. They're going to kind of impose their own patterns on what they observe. So it's fascinating that I had never thought about that for veterinarians, but that makes perfect sense, what you say.
Well, absolutely. Well, and particularly what we're teaching them, because we're teaching them to feel the habits in a horse and asking the horses to do something. And when they're interfering and pushing on a horse, that's why I can say, I think I was saying it actually in the last interview, what an incredible lab it is for me to be able to work with horses. And speaking of dogs, my two are fighting right here. Get out of here. Sorry about that. Two of them are demonstrating their great joy de vivre.
Right. For a dog or a horse owner, or really any kind of a pet owner, I suppose, a cat owner, who hears this and thinks, "Wow, I would like to get some of these benefits for me and my pet," or a veterinarian who's listening to this and thinks this might be a useful thing, is there a short of going to the postural rehabilitation classes that I guess they offer, and maybe you could say a word or two about that and where they are. But supposing that's not a possibility, what are some options for someone in that situation?
Well, I'll answer the first part, the second part of the question first, is that the training, the postural rehabilitation training, is a 3-weekend training. And though it's not inexpensive, it is officially continuing education, fulfills continuing education requirements for veterinarians. So that can be a nice incentive, and it's a lot of fun. We have a good time, and they feed us really, really well down there.
Where is down there?
It's in Nottingham, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Nottingham, Pennsylvania, which is about less than an hour southwest of Philadelphia, in a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful farm. One of the most beautiful farms I've ever been to.
And is this a training program for veterinarians?
It's a training program for veterinarians and for chiropractors that work on, they can be human chiropractors, but chiropractors that work on horses and or dogs.
Okay.
And it's a 3-weekend training. Aside from that, I would absolutely encourage pet owners to take some Alexander lessons. We've talked about putting together a lay program, which we have not yet done, but until we do, I would really suggest taking some Alexander lessons and seeing just, very simply. I work with some of my students now on walking their dogs and learning, dogs that, and I'm not the dog whisperer, but not unlike the things the dog whisperer says, is that when we're yanking at our poor animals and they're responding, and then we're getting mad at them for responding. So many times they're responding to things that we're doing unconsciously.
Yes, I live in a neighborhood where there are a lot of dog owners, and a lot of people take their dogs out for walks. And I can see that pretty often, where the dog owner is getting frustrated with the dog, and obviously the dog's getting pretty frustrated as well. And I think I sometimes think it would be nice if the owner had a Alexander lesson or two, at least to become a little more sensitive to what they're doing. Is there anything else you'd like to say about this whole connection between, well, I guess we could call it veterinarians, dogs, horses?
The thing that I have loved, and I've been very, very fortunate to be able to be part of this program, is the team teaching aspect of it. And learning a different language. I've had to learn the language of veterinarians, which I was extremely intimidated at first to be in the company of all of these doctors, and I'm the non-doctor.
Right.
Learning the language was wonderful, and I encourage anyone, whether you're an Alexander teacher or a rider, or to not be intimidated by learning the terms, learning the anatomy. In this program, I've been able to participate in all the dissections that we do get wonderful, because, you know, I'm talking about from the use point of view, but there's a huge part on farriers, of having the foot very well balanced, and a wonderful equine dentist that we work with, of having the teeth the teeth floated in correct ways, so that the jaw, because of the amount of proprioceptive information that's in the jaw, and of course horses, their teeth keep growing, so keep emerging, really. So it's very important to have a good teeth float. But how that all comes into play, I'm back always to the human end of it. How all of that, how we use our jaws, do we grind our teeth? Do we hold too much in our teeth? How are we balanced on our feet? Do you wear heels much? Do you wear sneakers too much? You know, all that rubber sole, no foot to ground contact, not enough foot to ground contact on a lot of different surfaces. And how this all applies to a human is wonderful. Down in Pennsylvania, we really teach, because it's this team teaching idea, we teach very experimentally all the time, where I'm coming up, someone talks about something in research, then we demonstrate in an animal, and then I come back and try and find a demonstration in a human being, so that I've learned so much to play with it. So that's the word that I come away from it a lot, is, and it's changed my teaching completely. It's about, we're playing with this wonderful dynamics we have in our lovely world with gravity. We're playing, you know, walk barefoot, you know, walk. I have a gravel driveway out to my barn, and I wouldn't walk barefoot now because there's about 2 feet of snow,
right.
but I might wear my rubber boots out versus my, you know, heavy duty hiking boots.
Right.
And so I can feel the ground and feel the texture, and how does that play with the balance? And then, you know, look at your animals in the same way. How are they balancing? Mm-hmm. And we more and more can start to play. And again, play, because you can get so quickly into this idea of correct versus not correct, or trying versus, you know, trying harder. but when we have a sense of play and dynamic, wow, when I go to balance on one foot, I really grab in my hip to do that. Well, what happens if I don't? Mm-hmm. And what happens when I'm on uneven ground? How am I compensating when I'm standing on uneven ground with my head, neck, and shoulders? And what does that feel like? And the more we can internally ask those questions and play, the less we start holding on as a postural set, as this is how we are. And the more we play, the more dynamically we start responding to different surfaces and situations and people
and animals
everything.
Right.
So that's the most fundamental.
So I think maybe this would be a good place to end our conversation, unless you have anything else you want to add.
No, I think I've said enough.
All right. Yeah. Well, I've been talking today with Elizabeth Reese, who is an Alexander Technique teacher, who lives in Orange County, New York, which is about an hour north of New York City. She also teaches on an Alexander Technique training course in Manhattan, and she's available for lessons there as well. And she is a dressage rider and instructor. And we've been particularly talking about her role as a faculty member at Postural Rehabilitation, which is a training program for veterinarians using alternative care in the treatment of dogs and horses and other animals as well. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Robert. This was a lot of fun.